biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
As always, welcome back to another Transforming Conversation, and one of my favorite times of the week because I get to just get a little better understanding of what Scripture is. And Pastor Rock, the week after Resurrection Sunday, I would love to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Allow me to read the passage first. It says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you." Now, my Western thinking, I got a lot of questions.
I'm glad, though, that you noted your Western thinking.
Exactly, and that's why these transforming things are really...
Because the Bible wasn't written from a Western point of view. It was written more from an Eastern point of view.
Okay, which
and,
is...
And while this isn't our topic...
Right.
We're allowed to go on little rabbit trails now and then. Let me go on one. I often hear people getting very concerned about the influence of Eastern thinking upon our interpretation and proclamation of Scripture.
Huh.
And that is a valid concern many times if we're replacing Christian doctrine with thinking that is more in line with Hinduism or Buddhism or Confucianism, whatever.
Right.
But I always chuckle a little bit when I hear that because the built-in assumption is that we approach Scripture in pure neutrality, that we don't come with a preset worldview,
right.
And we do.
Right.
We come from a Western worldview. And those in the East, they lament the way we twist and distort Scripture because of our Western worldview.
Right.
And they're concerned about the influence of a Western worldview upon Scripture.
Right.
So all of that to say, all of us have to recognize our culture influences how we interpret Scripture.
It really does.
And growing in the understanding of Scripture requires that we come to recognize how our culture has predisposed us to certain errors.
Right.
Every human culture predisposes people to certain errors when they read Scripture, interpret Scripture, and proclaim Scripture. So none of us interpret Scripture from a purely objective standpoint.
Right. Right.
So, do we need to be concerned about undue Eastern influence? Yes, but we need to be equally concerned about undue Western influence. Eastern cultures emphasize community. Western cultures emphasize individuality. The first is closer to Scripture than the second.
Right.
So, we always need to be aware of our worldview. And with that, let's get back to the topic.
and that's why I really wish we could take these and let everybody needs to hear these transforming conversations, because it really does set a wonderful way to look at things. But to the Scripture.
Going back to the text.
To the
Spirit who raised Christ from the dead raise you.
My Western understanding says the Spirit of God is living in me, so my mortal body should have life. And my understanding is no illness, no problems, no hangnails.
Yeah, and
no
and,
issues.
And how's that understanding working for you?
Not great.
Not very well.
I keep getting my flu shot. So I would, you know, again.
Okay, I think I see your question. You tell me if I'm stating something other than what you're asking, but I hear you asking, if the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead and who and is going to raise us from the dead one day lives in us, then why do we experience disease and decay and death?
Exactly.
If he's in there.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, first of all, let's backtrack a bit on the Scripture. The Scripture reminds us, and this is appropriate in this year of 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit, that Scripture verse reminds us that Jesus didn't raise himself from the dead. The Holy Spirit carried out that task.
Wow, right, right.
And we've been stressing in our 91 weeks that according to the prophecy of Isaiah, everything the Messiah would do would be Spirit-led, Spirit-initiated, and Spirit-empowered. That not only included Jesus' preaching, it included Jesus' resurrection.
Wow, right.
The Holy Spirit, all throughout Scripture, is God's agent of execution, if you will, meaning when God wants to execute a plan, the Holy Spirit is the agent who executes that plan.
Right.
He's the doer of the will of God.
Right.
God willed the resurrection of the Messiah, and in ways you and I can't understand, and God doesn't break down for us, the Holy Spirit executed that order from headquarters. The Holy Spirit carried that out. Paul's point, speaking to people who were beginning to wonder about their own resurrection. Why? Because they were seeing some of their fellow believers die. They were putting them in graves. And they were wondering, is this resurrection really going to happen? So Paul said, look, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. And the presence of the Spirit is the guarantee of our resurrection. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't indwell dead things.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit dwells in living things.
Right.
And if the same Spirit that raised Jesus is in you, that same Spirit will raise you just as he raised Jesus. Now, but why doesn't he then deliver us from sickness and aging and decay and injury and loss of limbs and ultimately death? Well, the reason he doesn't do that is because the Spirit executes God's plan, and our immortality in our broken situation is not God's plan.
Right.
God has not planned that broken humanity live in immortality.
Right.
God's plan is that this mortal must put off, or that we have to put off, excuse me, this mortal before we can put on immortality.
Right, right.
That's the great resurrection chapter from 1 Corinthians. This mortal must put on the immortal.
Right.
The mortal has to be laid aside so that the immortal might replace it. When do we lay aside our mortality? We lay it aside the day that we die. And once we die to this old condition, this fallen, broken condition in which we find ourselves, once we die to that, then God can restore us to what he originally intended. So, the brokenness with which I am born, the death principle in me with which I am born, that has to be laid aside before God can give me the eternal life principle and the immortality he always intended.
Right, right.
Death is the moment in which we lay it aside.
Hmm.
And then the moment in which the immortality is given and the resurrection is carried out, that doesn't occur until the second coming of Christ.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit's task in us during this time is not to render us immortal. The Holy Spirit's task is to keep us in faith, bring us in faith to that moment when we lay aside the mortal in death, so that we are then positioned to receive the eternal at the second coming of Christ.
Right.
That's his agenda. That's God's plan. God didn't say, if you come to Jesus, you'll never get sick. God didn't say, if you come to Jesus, you'll never grow old.
Right.
God didn't say, if you come to Jesus, you'll never die. No, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit is not a get-out-of-death-free card, get-out-of-sickness-free card, get-out-of-aging-free card. The Holy Spirit in us is carrying out God's plan for us. His plan for us is that we would be spiritually transformed, grow in love for him, and serve his purposes in evangelizing a broken world up until the moment that we die. At that moment, we lay aside the mortal, we lay aside the old, and then we wait for that appropriate time when, through the Holy Spirit, our bodies will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, united with our spirits, if we've died before that moment, and then we ascend to always be with the Lord, not as disembodied spirits, but as embodied spirits, but with bodies that, again, will never know disease, decay, injury, sickness, and death. So the Holy Spirit carries out God's plan, and God's plan for this time is our conversion, our faith, our alignment with Jesus, so that when death comes, it's a laying aside of the old and a preparation to receive the new. His purpose is not to accomplish the end ahead of time.
Right.
To get us to that point instantly and immediately. Because before that can happen, the old has to be put aside.
Right. Right.
We don't fully understand that, but this body that has the death principle in it, that is destined to die, God's not going to repair it. He's going to, in a very real sense, replace it. When I die, my body will go into the ground, my spirit will be present with the Lord awaiting the resurrection. In the resurrection, the body that God raises up will not be a repaired old body.
Right.
It will be a totally transformed and new body.
Amen.
One free of the death principle. So the Holy Spirit isn't doing repair work now. He's preparing us so that we're in a position to receive something radically new. Now, that being said, can the Holy Spirit perform what we call miracles of healing in our lives now? Yes, absolutely. But the occasional miracle of healing doesn't set aside the overall plan of God.
Right. With just a few minutes we have.
Sure.
I've heard teachings that says people have accused others' illnesses because of something of sin in their life.
Right,
because
yeah.
Like, I'm sure you've heard that.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, back to the Western thinking, that really is just really bad interpretation of Scripture.
Well, that's direct cause and effect thinking. And that doesn't always play well when you're trying to understand a God of grace.
Yeah, yeah.
Because grace runs contrary to cause and effect.
Right.
My sin should cause me to be eternally lost.
Right.
Grace offers me the possibility of being eternally saved.
Amen.
Grace is not a cause and effect thing.
Right.
So we're always seeking to explain our life experience and interpret our life experience through ourselves. We're really like children in that regard. If something's going bad, it must have been something I did.
Exactly.
Well, that's childish thinking.
Yeah.
Not everything bad is the result of something I did.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, not everything good is the result of something I did. No, the scripture doesn't teach that if we're sick, it's an indicator that we've sinned. And scripture doesn't teach that if we're sick, it's an indicator that our faith is deficient. People of great faith get sick.
Right, right.
People of great faith have fillings in their teeth, pacemakers, take shots for of insulin,
right.
Wear eyeglasses, etc., 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 because God's plan is not that this be heaven.
Right.
This is the hard life. This is the tough one. This is living as redeemed creatures in a still broken creation that groans for redemption.
Right.
In this setting, sickness and injury and disease and death happen. Now, might we bring on sickness by sin? That possibility exists because sometimes sickness can be God's discipline. For this cause, many of you are sick and some even sleep. That's what Paul said.
Right.
So there was a case where sickness was God's discipline, but it's not always God's discipline.
Right.
Many times it's just sickness. You sat next to a guy at work who had the flu. And you breathed his germs all day, and so now you've got the flu.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right.
You didn't sin. You didn't have a lapse in faith. Okay. So, again, those who teach that, one of the things they unknowingly, unwittingly do is they suggest that it takes more faith to be healed of a disease than it does to be saved eternally from your sin.
Huh.
Because think of it.
Yeah.
When we come and call upon the Lord, we're saved.
Right.
Doesn't say all who call upon the Lord will be saved, providing they reach a certain level on the faith meter.
That's right.
Or
that's
the right. Emotion meter.
Right.
We all call unto the Lord in our imperfection, but we all have the guarantee we will be saved. Well, if salvation, which is greater than healing, healing's temporary, salvation's eternal.
Amen. Right.
If salvation, which is the greater, comes to us by our faith, as imperfect as it may be, why would God require a greater perfected faith? By the way, nobody's got that anyhow.
Right.
For the lesser outcome of momentary deliverance from a temporary sickness.
Right. Exactly.
If my faith was sufficient to be saved.
Right.
Now you're telling me, but I need greater faith than that to be healed.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Now, you know, certainly when we pray, we need to pray in faith, believing.
Right, right.
But the Bible doesn't teach faith healing. Faith healing is I'll be healed if I have sufficient faith. The Bible teaches divine healing. Jesus is my healer, and he may heal me of this, and he is capable of healing me of this, but if he does not, he also gives me grace to endure. Hmm. There's right. a difference between divine healing and faith healing.
Yeah.
Our faith isn't in our faith. Our faith is in Jesus.
Not the healing.
Exactly. And not our faith isn't in our faith. I don't put my faith in my faith,
right,
my capacity to believe. I put my faith in Jesus. Weak faith in Jesus has more power than great faith in myself or great faith in my faith.
Right. Exactly.
It's not faith in faith that heals. It's faith in Jesus.
Right. Hey. The faith in my ability to believe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's faith in Jesus. So, where were we?
Yeah. No, you've covered it.
I mean, if you're sick, don't say, oh my, where is my faith deficient and where have I sinned?
Yeah.
Because if your sickness is God's discipline, God will tell you. Because if he doesn't tell you, the whole point of the exercise is lost.
Right.
I mean, for discipline to be effective, I need to know I'm being disciplined, how and why.
Right.
If discipline is mysterious, it's pointless.
Right.
So if your sickness is God's discipline, the Holy Spirit will tell you it's his discipline.
Right.
And he'll be very specific about what he's disciplining.
Yes. Yes.
You don't pull a child aside and say, I'm grounding you for the next 2 weeks, but I'm not telling you why.
Exactly.
Well, what are you doing?
Right.
And if God disciplines, he'll always tell you why. Right. Otherwise, the whole exercise is pointless.
Right.
So, a lot of sickness is just sickness.
And don't overcomplicate it.
Don't overcomplicate
it. Right.
Take your meds and pray.
Right. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.